For as long as I can remember, at this time of year, a great chorus of voices rises up, calling on people to get Christ back into prison. At the same time, others, and actually many of these same people, decry what they call the war on prison. The first slogan is a response to the recognition that this once Christian holy day, celebrating the birth of Jesus, has been usurped by our consumer culture and is now more about the elf on the shelf than the babe in the manger. Full disclosure, I was raised in an at least nominally Christian household, went to church religiously, as they said. I attended Methodist church camps, felt a call to ordained ministry, worked as an itinerant freelance minister. But it wasn't until I was serving my first Unitarian Universalist congregation that I ever heard of anybody celebrating Christmas with a birthday cake. The birthday of the baby Jesus. And I since discovered this is a big thing. The one Christmas I was not in a pulpit on Christmas Eve, the Methodist church I went to brought out a birthday cake. There's no question in my mind that it's hard to see all the tinsel and wrapping paper to find the powerful story of God coming into the world, not as a king, but as an innocent and incredibly vulnerable baby. Now, I say that most of the people who say they want to put Christ back in Christmas aren't remembering that the biblical nativity story that's told in both Luke and Matthew tell us that Jesus was born to poor, unmarried parents who were soon after to be refugees in a foreign land. Or that this babe wrapped in a swaddling cloth would grow up to be the man who would eat with anyone, teach anyone, heal anyone, without ever asking them for a drug test or a photo ID. Two of the people he lifted up as the highest models weren't even members of his own religion. Still, I can understand the desire to put Christ back into Christmas. The other of those slogans, the war on Christmas, is a response to the culture's remembering that the Christian Christmas isn't the only reason for the season. There's also Hanukkah, a relatively minor Jewish holiday that's been elevated so as to give Jewish children something exciting while their Christian friends gather around their trees. Hanukkah, a commemoration of a successful rebel victory against the Alliance of the Greek Empire, which is taken in their hands. This rebel band took the sacred temple in Jerusalem, and although they wanted to immediately rededicate it to the worship of their God, there was only enough lamp oil for one day. And it would take 8 days to purify any more. Miraculously, though, that one day supply of oil lasted for the needed 8, which is why they light the candles. Some years, the movable holy day of Diwali falls during December. Diwali is significant to Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, and Jains, symbolizes the victory of light over the dark, good over evil, knowledge over ignorance, and hope over despair. In Thailand, people celebrate Loy Chakram. Did you know that? Loy Chakram? Do you celebrate that? No? Well, the way you would celebrate it is you put lighted candles and incense and coins into a small lotus-shaped boat made out of banana leaves, place it in the river, and allow the current to carry it and all of that person's bad luck away. There's Rohatsu, which commemorates the day that Siddhartha Gautama, also known as Shakyamuni Buddha, experienced his enlightenment under the Bodhi tree. There is Muwalid, which both Sunni and Shia Muslims celebrate, marking the birth of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. There's a more recent Kwanzaa, of course, the week-long celebration that has its roots in the Black Nationalist Movement of 1960, which was established by right, this is an exciting issue. I'm going to skip some of this stuff. Because you're here. You see some other things, not just young ones. You're going, this is a history lesson. I read somewhere that there are 27 different holidays and holy days that are celebrated during December. So this holiday season is a lot more. So there's no war on Christmas. If anything, there has been a ceasefire in the hostilities toward all these other holidays and holy days. And shifting from greeting everyone from Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays is simply part of the negotiated terms. But I want to get back to this whole getting Christ back into Christmas thing. Several years ago, I had the realization that this all stems from a very understandable misunderstanding. You see, I believe there are two holy days called Christmas. Homophonic holy days, if you will. One is the Christian Christmas, which celebrates the incarnation of God into the world. It has its scriptures, the Nativity story in Luke and Matthew. It's not just one story, and it's really cool to read them both because they are slightly different. It has its own songs and rituals and traditions. The Christian Christmas is a whole thing, whole unto itself. But there's another holy day that is also called Christmas. I call it the cultural Christmas. And it celebrates generosity and family. It has scriptures like a Charlie Brown Christmas, or the 1947 version of A Miracle on 34th Street with Edward Gwibb, not the more recent holiday. Instead of the babe in the manger surrounded by mooing cows and cooing doves, we have Santa in a sleigh being pulled by eight reindeers, plus Rudolph with its nose. I'd say this is not a usurper of the Christian's Christmas, but a separate holiday all on its own. One worth celebrating in its own merit. But why all of these holidays and holy days during this holiday season? I said to Wendy that her opening words was, in a way, the sermon in paragraph form. Because some said that we celebrate all of these things because our ancient ancestors were afraid that this long time of long nights, they were afraid that the sun wouldn't come back again. And so they would light ceremonial fires to brighten the night and to entice the sun to come back. Which is really kind of silly, don't they? Because although our ancient ancestors were ancient, they weren't stupid. And they lived through the cycles of seasons and they knew what happened. In fact, they built these amazing things like Stonehenge that are incredibly accurate celestial calendars, and they wouldn't have done that if they thought the sun wasn't coming back. I think the lack of light has something to do with all of this, of course, as does the fact that it's really cold outside. Not today, but a few days ago. And at least in the northern hemisphere this time of year. In the southern hemisphere, they have their own festivals and seasons during their cold spells. And I think that whether it's entirely unconscious or not, we humans have always recognized that the seasons out there are echoed in the seasons in here. We know times of cold. We know times where there seems to be very little light. We know times when things close in and slow down. In our Eastertide service, the Rite of Spring, as we look at the multi-layered metaphors of such times, tune times, we call them in that context, I adapted the words of a Christmas hymn, "In the Bleak Midwinter." We sing, "You and I know winter, you and I know pain, time we feel the sun will never shine again. Darkness all around us will sweet midwinter, earth and we are one. Both in frozen darkness, hidden from the sun. Yet we hope despite ourselves, what else can we do? Hope that in the springtime, we'll be born anew. And that's the real reason for the season. That's why all this candlelighting and tree trimming and gift giving and family gathering and storytelling and song singing and all the other things we've been doing and will do in the weeks to come. That's what it's all about. Our defiant declaration of hope in times of internal and external winter. Our assertion that spring is on its way. Our reminder that miracles abound if only we have eyes to see and ears to hear. This year, we will have our interactive family nativity pageant on Christmas Eve at 4:30. An amazing experience if you've never been to it. Our UU Christian Fellowship will be celebrating communion in the UU Christian way at 7 o'clock. And at 8 o'clock, there will be our service of stories and songs and candles and the search for Santa. On Christmas morning, there will be no service in the sanctuary, but there will be a potluck brunch at 10 o'clock. And I can think of no more truly worshipful way to celebrate than in loving fellowship with like-minded and like-hearted people with no doubt some really good food. And you will be celebrating this season in your own way. I encourage you to think about what we're really doing. And to remember that while there may be joy in your home, there is sorrow somewhere else. Or if there is sorrow in your home, remember that there is joy, perhaps just next door. And that the seasons cycle out there and in here. And the night is balanced by the day. And the warmth of the fire balanced by the cold of winter, and that balance is life. So let us celebrate life this season. That is something worth seeing.